Once, the Lord desired to go early in the morning with all his cowherd boyfriends to the forest, where they were to assemble together and take lunch. As soon as he got up from bed, he blew a buffalo horn and called all his friends together.
Together and let's go into the forest. We'll have a beautiful lunch together, and the whole day will be full of playing and laughing. Come on, everyone.
In this
go.
Way, Lord Krishna assembled thousands of his boyfriends. They were each equipped with a stick, a flute, and horn, as well as a lunch bag. And each one of them was taking care of thousands of calves. And so, keeping the calves before them, they started for the forest. All the boys appeared to be very jolly and happy in that excursion. Each and every one of them was attentive for his personal calves. The boys were fully decorated with various kinds of golden ornaments, and out of sporting mood, they began to pick up flowers, leaves, twigs, and peacock feathers, and red clay from different parts of the forest, and they began to dress themselves in different ways. While passing through the forest, one boy stole another boy's lunch package and passed it to a third. And when the boy whose lunch bag was stolen came to know of it, he tried to take it back. But one threw it to another and another. And so, this sportive playing went on amongst the boys as childhood pastimes. When Lord Krishna went ahead to a distant place in order to see some specific scenery, the boys behind him tried to run and catch up and be the first to touch him. So there was a great competition among the
boys. I will go there and touch Krishna.
Oh, no, you won't. I'll go there first.
Oh, yes, I will. I'm going to go and touch Krishna.
Which I beat you to him.
Some of them played on their flutes or vibrated bugles made of buffalo horn. And some gladly followed the peacocks and imitated the sounds of the cuckoo. While the birds were flying in the sky, the boys ran after the birds' shadows along the ground and tried to follow their exact courses. Some of the boys went to the monkeys and sat down silently by them. And some of them imitated the dancing of the peacocks. Some of the boys caught the tails of the monkeys and played with them. And when the monkeys jumped in a tree, the boys also followed. When one monkey showed his face and teeth, a boy imitated and showed his teeth to the monkey. Some of the boys played with the frogs in the bank of the Jamuna River. And when out of fear the frogs jumped in the water, the boys immediately dove in after them. And they would come out of the water when they saw their own shadows and stand imitating, making caricatures and laughing. They would also go to an empty well and make loud sounds. And when the echo came back, they would call it ill names and laugh. Lord Krishna, who awards the impersonalist Brahman realization by his bodily effulgence, also gives pleasure to his devotees as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who are under the spell of the external material energy, or Maya, take him only as a beautiful child. Yet, he gave full transcendental pleasure to the cowherd boys who played with him. Who can estimate the transcendental fortune of the residents of Vrindavan? Only after accumulating heaps of pious activities, these boys are being permitted to personally associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They were personally visualizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. He whom many yogis cannot find, even after undergoing severe austerities, although he is sitting within the heart. when Lord Krishna was enjoying his childhood pastimes with his boyfriends, one Agasura demon became very impatient. He was unable to see Krishna playing, so he appeared before the boys, intending to kill them all. This Agasura was so dangerous that even the denizens of heaven were afraid of him. When Agasura decided to kill all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, he expanded himself by mystic power. The demons are generally expert in achieving almost all kinds of mystical powers. In the yoga system, by the perfection called Mahima, one can expand himself as he desires, in whatever shape he desires. So this demon, Agasura, expanded himself up to 8 miles, and he assumed the shape of a very fat serpent. Having attained this wonderful body, he stretched his mouth open just like a mountain cave. Desiring to swallow all the boys at once, including Krishna and Balaram, he sat on the path. The demon, in the shape of a big fat serpent, expanded his lips from land to sky. His lower lip was touching the ground, and his upper lip was touching the clouds. His jaws appeared like a big mountain cave, without limitation, and his teeth appeared just like mountain summits. His tongue appeared to be a broad traffic way, and he was breathing just like a hurricane. The fire of his eyes was blazing, and at first, the boys thought that the demon was a statue. But after examining it, they saw that it was more like a big serpent lying down on the road and widening his mouth. The boys began to talk among themselves.
This figure appears to be a great animal, and he is sitting in such a posture just to swallow us all. Just see, is it not a big snake that has widened his mouth to eat all of us?
Yes, what you say is true. This animal's upper lip appears to be just like the sunshine, and its lower lip is just like the reflection of the red sunshine on the ground. Dear friends, just look to the right and left-hand side of the mouth of the animal. Its mouth appears to be just like a big mountain cave, and its height cannot even be estimated. The chin is also raised, just like a mountain summit. That long highway appears to be its tongue, and the inside of the mouth is as dark as a mountain cave. The hot wind that is blowing like a hurricane, that's his breathing. And the fishy, bad smell coming from his mouth, that's the smell of his intestines.
If we all at one time entered into the mouth of this great serpent, how could it possibly swallow all of us? And even if it were to swallow all of us at once, it could not swallow Krishna. Krishna would immediately kill him, just as he did so many other demons.
All the boys looked at the beautiful lotus-like face of Sri Krishna, and they began to clap and smile.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about anything. Let's go inside. Hey, Krishna will protect us.
And so, they marched forward and entered the mouth of the gigantic serpent. Meanwhile, Krishna, who is the super soul within everyone's heart, could understand that the gigantic statuesque figure was a demon. While he was planning how to stop the destruction of his intimate friends, all the boys, along with their cows and calves, entered into the mouth of the serpent. But Krishna did not enter, and the demon was awaiting Krishna's entrance. Krishna is the assurance of safety to everyone. But when he saw that his friends were already out of his hands, and were lying within the belly of a gigantic serpent, he became momentarily aggrieved. Also, he was struck with wonder at how the external energy works so wonderfully. Then he began to consider how the demon should be killed, and how he could save the boars and calves. Although there was no factual concern on Krishna's part, he was thinking like that. Finally, after some deliberation, he also entered within the mouth of the demon. When Krishna entered, all the demigods who had gathered to see the fun and who were hiding within the clouds began to express...
Alas! Alas, Krishna has been swallowed by the demon.
Alas!
Who can save us now with Christianism.
At the same time, all the friends of Agasura, especially the demon king Kamsa, who were all accustomed to eating flesh and blood, began to express their jubilation, understanding that Krishna also had entered the mouth of the demon. While the demon was trying to smash Krishna and his companions, Krishna heard the demigods crying, and he immediately began to expand himself within the throat of the demon. Although he had a gigantic body, the demon choked by the expansion of Krishna. His big eyes moved violently, and he quickly suffocated. His life air could not come out from any other source, and ultimately, it burst out of the hole in the upper part of his skull. Thus, his life air passed off. After the demon had dropped dead, Krishna, with his transcendental glance alone, brought all the boys and calves back to consciousness and came out with them from the mouth of the demon. While Krishna was within the mouth of Agasura, the demon's spirit soul had come out like a dazzling light, illuminating all directions, and waited in the sky. As soon as Krishna, with his calves and friends, came out of the mouth of the great demon, that glittering effulgent light immediately merged into the body of Krishna within the vision of all the demigods. The demigods became overwhelmed with joy and began to shower flowers on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and thus they worshipped him. The denizens of heaven began to dance in jubilation, and the denizens in Gandharva Loka began to offer various kinds of prayers. Drummers began to beat drums in jubilation, and the Brahmins began to recite Vedic hymns, and all the devotees of the Lord began to chant. When Lord Brahma, who is the foremost personality in this material world, and who actually created the entire material universe under the direction of the Supreme, heard these auspicious vibrations, which sounded throughout the higher planetary system, he immediately came down to see what had happened. He saw that the demon was killed, and he was struck with wonder at the uncommon, glorious pastimes of the personality of Godhead. The gigantic mouth of the demon remained in an open position for many, many days, and gradually it dried up. It remained a spot of pleasure pastimes for all the cowherd boys. For Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is far greater than such demigods as Lord Brahma, it is not at all difficult to award one the opportunity of merging with his eternal body. This he awarded to Agasura. Agasura was certainly the most sinful living entity, and it is not possible for the sinful to merge into the existence of the Absolute Truth. But in this particular case, because Krishna entered into Agasura's body, the demon became fully cleansed of all sinful reaction. Persons constantly thinking of the eternal form of the Lord are awarded the transcendental goal of entering into the kingdom of God and associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we can just imagine the elevated position of someone like Agasura, into whose body the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, personally entered. Great sages and meditators and devotees constantly keep the form of the Lord within their heart, or they see the deity form within the temples. In that way, they become liberated from all material contamination, and at the end of the body, they enter into the kingdom of God. This perfection is possible simply by keeping the form of the Lord within the mind. But in the case of Agasura, the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally entered. Agasura's position was therefore greater than the ordinary devotee or even the greatest yogi. It is said that anyone who recites or hears these wonderful childhood pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes immediately liberated from all kinds of miserable conditions. And for one who actually understands the transcendental nature of Lord Krishna's activities, he becomes liberated even in this life, and never again returns to this material world, having attained the Supreme Personality.